Passage of Scripture today is from the 8th chapter of Mark, verses 27 through 38. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." And Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, but yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his own soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
May we pray. Not only here, O Lord, but in every day of our life, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, you who is our rock and our salvation. Amen. It was told one day when Billy Graham was visiting a nursing home, he walked in and had a very humbling experience. Maybe you will recall the story. He went around shaking hands with the clients there, and he went up to one of them and he said, "Do you know who I am?" And the lady looked at him and said, "No, but if you'll go over there and ask that lady at the desk, she will tell you who you are." A very humbling experience, I would think, for Dr. Graham. Today, Jesus asks a question in a very interesting place, Caesarea Philippi. If you were to look at the geographical area that Mark uses a lot, Caesarea Philippi was named after two people. Caesar, who was believed to be God, and if Caesar is God, then that means you call him Lord. You call him Savior, you call him Peacemaker, you call him Redeemer, you call Caesar these names, no one else. Philip, who named this area, included his name in it since he was the name, one who dedicated this area, so he called it Caesarea Philippi. But in this area, not only was it named after Caesar, it was also amongst other places where other gods were. Pan, the god of nature. Zeus. There was a place there named for Zeus. So in this place where many gods existed and where many gods were honored, the one and only God asks the question, "Who do people say that I am?" Now this is a very important question, and it's a unique question. If you've ever read anything about other religions and their prophets, those who were leading the way in other religions, you will notice that none of them ever ask about themselves concerning who people thought they were. Buddha, to his credit, never asked anyone, "Who do people say that I am?" Buddha says, "I know a way, and I believe that you could benefit from it." Mohammed, to his credit, never asked anyone, "Who do people say about him?" He knew a life that he invited people to come to know that would help them. There is only one who asks, "Who do people say that I am?" And that is Jesus. And there's a reason that he says this, because Jesus asked and said a lot of things, brothers and sisters, that focused a lot about who he was. For example, he said about himself, "If you love mother, father, more than you love me, then you are not worthy of me." Did you catch that? That is radical for a Jewish man to say that about himself. But who is this man who has said this? Who is he? This same man said, there is someone greater than the temple here. Say what? There is someone greater than the temple here. Wow. The temple is where God was present. And this Jewish man is saying that there is someone greater here than the temple. The only one who could say that would be the one who they believed was present in the temple. But who is this man who says this? Jesus said, you have heard it said of old, but I say unto you. Well, where did they hear it said of old? The Torah. That's where they have heard it said. The Torah. That's the last authority that they go to. That's pretty much, if it says it, that settles it. But Jesus said that you have heard it said there, but he says. How could someone say that about the Torah unless someone who was the author of the Torah itself said that? Who is this man who says, who do people say that I am? And what does that question mean? It means, well, where do people think I come from? Jesus didn't say, how are people liking my messages? Are they coming across? Are people hearing what I'm saying? That's not what he asked. He wants to know if people know who he is. And the disciples tell him what they have heard people say. Of course, you and I know that Herod thought that he was John the Baptist come back from the dead. Well, why would Jesus remind Herod or anyone of John the Baptist? Well, Jesus preached the same thing that John preached. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Some said that he reminded them of Elijah. Well, what did Jesus and Elijah have in common? Well, like Elijah, Jesus spoke his peace and authority to the powers that be. Elijah never backed down when he had to speak to the powers that be. Neither did Jesus. Jesus and Elijah had a lot in common. And the other prophets, like Jeremiah, people wouldn't listen to Jeremiah, like people didn't often listen to Jesus. Some may have considered Jesus as much as a traitor as they did Jeremiah, because there were many things that Jesus did not do that the religious community did do. So they may have thought that he was a traitor to the Torah, to the law, and to what Israel became. You see, there were people like Buddha who said that they had found a way. But Jesus said, I am the... Let's try that again. Buddha is someone who said that he had found a way. And if people would walk in that way, that it might benefit them too. But Jesus said, I am the...
Amen.
There are some, like Muhammad, who said that they had found a life. And if anyone would enter into this life, that their life would be enriched. But Jesus said, I am the...
Amen.
There are others who said that they had found a way. But Jesus said, I am the... So here you have someone who claims to be the truth, the way, the life. Where others say that they had found something that leads to it, Jesus says he is that. He is that person. And then he asks them, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Christ. But Jesus says to him, like he has said to other people before, don't tell anybody. Of course, those people that Jesus said not to tell, they told. And people he has said to tell, they don't tell. It seems that we seem to always be tempted to do the opposite of what Jesus tells us to do or not to do. Peter, in his mind, like others like him, were taught that when the Messiah would come, he would gather his tribe, he would get the band back together, he would clean up the temple, he would come into power and reign, and he would rule. Well, that's what Jesus did, but he didn't do it the way that others thought he would do it. He came to get the band back together, but the people that he called, people didn't think that they were part of the band, that they weren't part of the tribe, that they were the outsiders, not the insiders. But Jesus said that there were other sheep of this fold that he was bringing in. He was to go and to clean out the temple, but there was another temple in which he came to clean. And that's me and you, to make room for the Holy Spirit to reign and mine in your life. The Holy Spirit lives within you and in me. And the Apostle Paul got that. The Apostle Paul got that. The Apostle Paul called Jesus Lord for a very important reason, and that's because Caesar isn't. And that's what oftentimes got Paul in trouble. He was to rule, but he wasn't going to rule in a throne, but on a cross. He wasn't going to make people pay for their sins and cause them to taste death and to allow that to be their payment. He was going to suffer and die for what others would have to suffer and die for if he didn't. A king, a Messiah that they were looking for would not do that. A king would make you and me pay for our sins. A king would make you and me suffer for what we do. You and I have heard it said before. You and I have maybe said this. We've heard it maybe said about ourselves. You made your bed, now you lay in it. What goes around comes around. That's the law. That's justice. Jesus didn't come so that what goes around comes around. Jesus came so that what goes around may go away. May not be a part of our life. May be saved from it so that we wouldn't have to lay in it and waddle in it and allow it to destroy us. Jesus came to save us by taking on himself that which he knew that if we took upon, it would destroy us forever and ever and ever. Therefore, he took it. He shared with Peter that the kind of Messiah he was the kind of Messiah who would suffer and who would live in self-denial, and he would take it. I'm not talking to you, brothers and sisters, about a life that you don't know. You know this kind of life. If you're married, you know this kind of life. For better, for worse, in sickness, in health, till death us do part. If you're married, you didn't always get to say yes to yourself. There were many times you said no to yourself in order to say yes to your one that you promised to be true to. If you have children, you know what it's like to say no to yourself. You want to eat at one restaurant, they want to eat at McDonald's. So you say no to the vegetables and yes to the chicken nuggets. If you have older children and they're in college, you said no to riches and yes to poverty. You know what it's like to live a life of self-denial. You know what it's like to take up your cross and to follow Jesus. A cross is not something that someone else throws on your back. God does not throw a cross on your back. Notice what Jesus says. If anyone would choose to follow him, they must pick up their cross. The question is, what do you and I choose to suffer for when it comes to being a follower of Jesus. If there are people in your neighborhood, or in your county, or in your school system, or in your family, that people have given up on, or who need help, and you decide to help them, and people discourage you from doing that, or if they are a person who doesn't have a good reputation, and if people see you around them and helping them, what happens if they associate you with those kinds of people? Or what happens if they associate you with them? You know, Jesus got a put-down name for hanging around people like you and me. Do you know what they used to call him? They used to call him friend of sinners. That wasn't a compliment. That was a put-down name. He was a friend of sinners. He ate with tax collectors. He ate with prostitutes. He ate with people who didn't go to the temple 3 times a day. He ate with common, everyday people. And as a result of hanging around with them, well, you've heard the old saying that if you hang around with dog, you'll get fleas. Well, guess what? Jesus had fleas. Because Jesus didn't come to save the righteous. Jesus didn't come to save the godly. Jesus came to save the ungodly. Those persons that you and I know aren't fit for the kingdom, those are the ones that Jesus came to make fit. He came to wear the coat that if they wore it, would destroy them. So he wore it to redeem them. And them that I'm talking about is you and me and the whole world. I pray today, brothers and sisters, that you know Jesus on a personal level. That not only do you know about him, and there are many things that you could say about him, but you know him. You know where he comes from. You know he comes from heaven. You know he's the second Godhead in the Godhead. But you know more than just know about him. You know him personally. And you know him intimately. He is your Lord. He is your God. He is your Savior. He is your hope. He is your truth. He is your way. He is your life. And each and every day, you and I live and surrender so that others will know that that is so. So that they too might also live that life. For it's in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May we pray. It is our desire, O Lord, to know not only who people say that you are, but to know who you are. You are our God, our Savior, our Redeemer. You have changed the total direction of our life. For at one time, we had our life off in a ditch somewhere. We couldn't get out, but we called upon your name, and you extended your hand to us, and you lifted us from where we were to where you are. And it is our desire each and every day to walk beside you. Take our life, O Lord, and let it be. Let it be the kind of life that you would have it to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.